Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. Talking a little Tennessee Vols before they play Virginia in their season opener coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. And to help us do that, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel. Adam, good morning. How are you?
Real good, guys. How y'all doing?
We're awesome, man. Appreciate you taking time to be with us. So, Adam, what's your sense of the way Josh Heupel's, I guess, feel for this team now that fall camp is behind Tennessee? They're opening up against Virginia on Saturday, because, you know, in watching his media availability and some of the comments around the program, it feels like Heupel is very confident in this group heading into the year. What do you make of where this coaching staff feels about where the program is right now?
I guess it depends on which day you ask me. Right now, I do think he sounds confident. Calm, maybe, is the word. Now, if you asked me that last week, I thought he looked a little uneasy, and maybe that's because of what was in the background, and the Cooper Mays injury was still in the background. I don't think Cooper Mays plays this game. They haven't said officially, but I think there's a little uneasiness about how they're going to be on the offensive line. That's probably my biggest curiosity, just aside from seeing how good the offense is going to be. That's my biggest curiosity of this game, whether or not they can fill his position and maybe for long term. And I do think internally they're wondering the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, obviously he's an important player. I think a big question, it sounds like John Campbell from Miami is maybe an upgrade at left tackle. That's the hope, right? If that's the case, then you feel good about the other guys moving to the right side. But obviously the interior has got to be sound. Adam, fantastic story about Joe Milton. For people who haven't read it, I guess, give us a quick recap of you know, the sort of what you wrote about there. But also just with Joe Milton right now, how do you feel about where he is and what we're about to see from Joe Milton?
Well, the story is I wanted to do something in his background. You know, I've had some features on Hendon Hooker the last couple of years, so I wanted to introduce something that was off the field about Joe Milton. Even though he's been around forever, we kind of don't know him, maybe at least in this way. I had heard that Joe had lost his sister when she was a child, and then I had found out at some point after the Orange Bowl that he had lost his great-grandmother. She helped raise him. He lived part of his childhood with her. In Pahokee, Florida, and I got him into a room last week, Joe, and I asked him about it. And I knew those two facts, but then when I started asking about them, he said, "Yeah, my sister died prematurely. She only lived 3 days when he was 7 years old." And he told me, like, how him and his mom both had told me sort of how stern he was at that funeral. He thought he needed to be that way for his siblings, even though he was only 7 years old. And then I asked him about his great-grandmother, who died right after the Orange Bowl when he won the MVP at the Orange Bowl a few months ago. And he said, yeah, and that's the first funeral I had been to since my baby sister's funeral 16 years earlier. And that immediately took me into a line of questioning of why. If you were so composed at the first funeral, why could you not go back? And then we talked about that and how he had to put on a strong face for his siblings, even though that's not how he felt. And then that rolled into a conversation about what a quarterback has to be. You know, no matter how worried you are, how concerned you are, how many mistakes or bad things are happening around you, you got to be the guy that's composed through it all. And that's not a line that I fed him. That's how he sees himself as a quarterback. That's how he sees himself as a big brother. He's the oldest of seven. And that just kind of turned into his story, which, you know, I thought was a pretty unique way for him to tell it. On the field, you know, can Joe be Hendon Hooker? No. I mean, he can be better. He can be worse, but he's going to be different. He can run the ball, but he runs the ball differently. He's also obviously got the cannon for an arm. You know, the thing I think that's maybe people are going to have to get used to the most is that Joe Milton may throw a pick. He might do that. Hendon Hooker, the last 2 years, threw 58 touchdowns and I think 5 interceptions. And so the Tennessee fan base, and us included, we've all gotten accustomed to the idea that the quarterback would not make a single critical mistake in an entire Saturday, and that just doesn't happen anywhere. So, you know, Joe Milton hadn't thrown a pick either. He's thrown 12 touchdowns, no picks in 2 years, mostly as a backup. But it's we do take for granted, I think, that Hendon just never threw picks. And so Joe may do that. I think he could take more chances with the ball because of his arm strength. But I'll be curious to see how the offense goes, because we could see last year's offense when they were really clicking. We could see the Orange Bowl offense, which was really good but actually stalled more than in other games, or we could see something in between.
Adam Sparks with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Adam, we were talking about this a little bit earlier in the show. What constitutes success? What constitutes a failure for this Tennessee team in your mind this year?
Well, I picked them 9-3, which is like the Citrus Bowl. I could see 8-4, 9-3, 10-2. It'd be hard to see them go beyond that. I mean, obviously, a successful year, if you can get back to 10 wins, a successful year, I think, would be 9 wins and beating either Alabama or Georgia. I think that's a pretty big deal now, since they beat one of them last year. Below that, I think people would see it as a ho-hum year, which says a lot about what Josh Heupel has done here, that you could go possibly 8-4 and be disappointed because, until last season, if you look at the past 15 years, 8-4 people would have been pretty happy about. But they've got the roster and what they did last year, that they've got a team that can win most games. I think the difference between now and a couple of years ago is that you now pencil in wins that would be toss-ups a couple of years ago. You know, people just assume they're going to go to Lexington and beat Kentucky. And I heard you guys earlier in the show that people are like, well, they'll beat Florida. You know, it's just Florida. Florida's not very good. They'll beat right. Florida. But they hadn't won in the Swamp in, 20 years. And having covered a lot of games at the Swamp, that you should never, ever underestimate the Swamp. Whatever you think the line of a game is, that thing shrinks by about a touchdown once you get in there and sort of feel that atmosphere and the humidity and all that. So, you know, I think it really has to go in stages with this team, because there's a lot of unknowns with this team. If you beat Florida and the Swamp, then suddenly you say, okay, well, this team may be as good as next year. If you can beat Alabama or Georgia, then this team may be better than last year. But it's really got to go in stages. And the first stage is getting out of September unscathed.
Who is good in this secondary, Adam?
Danico Slaughter is good.
That's about my answer, too.
That's about where we've landed.
Yeah, I mean, Willie Martinez was asked this question, I think, last week, and I asked him the same question last year. They say they have depth. Well, is depth a lot of bodies, or is it a lot of good bodies, so to speak? And I think it's the first one right now. It may end up being the second one. But, you know, they've had the same question for the last couple of years. They play older guys because older guys aren't going to blow coverages. You know, an older guy may give up a 20-yard pass, but they're not going to give up a 60-yard pass. Well, it's only so many times you can do that, and it adds up. And it added up last year, three or four quarterbacks threw for 400 yards against them. I don't think the only issue is the secondary. I mean, they need linebackers that would be good in coverage. They've got to fill Byron Young's spot as a pass rusher, but it's a big question with the secondary. And they've got a ton of guys back there. Good enough. They've got so many options. There's a little hope that Gabe Judy Lawley, the BYU transfer that used to play at Vandy, he may help them a little bit. I like that they put Andre Turrentine back at safety with the ones for a lot of camp. Now, a lot of that was because of injuries, but he's an Innsworth guy. He was originally signed at Ohio State, spent a year or two there, was here last year, had not learned the offense yet. Turrentine, though, is a typical guy that they like but won't put out there, because Turrentine is a guy that will take chances, that will get out of position, but he makes big plays. And you'll see them compliment that, but then sort of kind of raise their eyebrows of whether or not they're going to put him on the field. And I think that paints the picture of how they see DBs. Don't be risky at all. We're not asking you to make plays. We're just asking you to not give up as many big plays. And if they give up a lot early in the year, they're going to have this question again.
Adam, Josh Heupel was pretty complimentary of Nico last week and the progress that he's made. What's your sense of Nico, the job that he's done in fall camp, and how ready he is if he's forced into game action this year?
Well, I mean, he will be in game action. I mean, he may be there in the fourth quarter this week. I think certainly he'll play in play a lot in the Austin Peay game. I think people are going. If you look at Nico, if you're a fan and you expect Nico to come out and look like a future Heisman, he's not going to look like that. If you expect him to come out and make a couple throws, you say, "Wow, I can see some potential there." But then also, he looks like he's like a freshman, and not knowing exactly what's going on and being late on things and misreading things. If you expect that, then you're going to be fine, because of what I've seen, the little bits of practice and then the descriptions of him from coaches and players, he looks like exactly what he is, which is a five-star talent but also a freshman. And you know, I would be a little concerned that he's the backup. Now, I think he's really, really good. He's really good. He's better than most backups in college football. But it's if Joe Milton goes down, it's just him. There's not another guy there. And so I would almost be concerned about just their numbers at quarterback. But, you know, that's going to force him onto the field because there's nobody else in front of him except for Milton. So in the long run, it'll be a good thing. But I do think he's going to be up and down once he gets into the game.
Talking to Adam Sparks, Knoxville News Sentinel. We've talked about this before, Adam, but now that we're on the cusp of the season, I'm fascinated by, is this going to be another three receiver year? You know, you take your top three and there you go. Because I think Ramel Keaton is very reliable and will be very good this year. But I look at Deontay Thornton and I'm like, man, that guy is electric and has speed like few people do. How do you think that plays out?
Yeah, anytime I've asked Josh Heupel about that, because he's only played three the last 2 years, at least three within a game, he sort of retcons what happened like 2 years ago, and you know, like almost he was forced into playing three guys. But that's what he wants to do: put three guys in the field and play with them as long as you can till you get up by a whole lot, and then fourth, fifth, sixth plays. They say again, this is the third year in a row, they say they're going to play more than three guys. You know, some of that I think probably is right, but I think they just got to find new ways to do it. I mean, you know, you can have Squirrel White out there for the first two drives, and then when you come out for the third drive, you say, "Hey, Squirrel, you stand on the sideline for a minute, and Dante's going to go in there." You know, that's not really that hard to do. It's weird to say that like a receiver will have a special package, because I don't think that's necessarily the case, but I do think they're going to find a way to roll Dante Thornton in there. Now, we've seen the last 2 years, they'll start with three, a fourth guy will get in there by circumstances, and then the original third guy never gets back out there. I think this will work itself out. There'll be an injury, there'll be a guy that maybe just isn't playing well, and his role will be reduced. The good thing is they'll have some blowouts early in the year, so they can play more guys. But then I think by the end of the year, I think they'll be back down to three, because that's just where they've ended the last 2 years.
Well, Adam, great stuff as always. Fantastic job on the Joe Milton story. You can check that out at the Knoxville News Sentinel. Awesome stuff. Thanks for taking time to be with us this morning. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, guys. Y'all have a good one.
Absolutely. Adam Sparks from the Knoxville News Sentinel, our guest on Robbie and Rexroad. We'll continue the conversation on the Vols, including a Joe Rexroad warning to Tennessee fans. We'll get to that coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3, The Game. It feels like Heupel is very confident in this group heading into the year. What do you make of where this coaching staff feels about where the program is right now?
I guess it depends on which day you ask me. Right now, I do think he sounds confident. Calm, maybe, is the word. Now, if you asked me that last week, I thought he looked a little uneasy, and maybe that's because of what was in the background, and the Cooper Mays injury was still in the background. I don't think Cooper Mays plays this game. They haven't said officially, but I think there's a little uneasiness about how they're going to be on the offensive line. And I that's probably my biggest curiosity, just aside from seeing how good the offense is going to be. That's my biggest curiosity of this game, whether or not they can fill his position and maybe for long term. And I do think internally they're wondering the same thing.
That was Adam Sparks of the Knoxville News Sentinel with us in the last segment. Appreciate him taking time to be on with us. Robbie and Rex Road, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty. Check out their new luxury listing at 6551 Brownlee at tjandersonhomes.com. We are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook, live from our 102.5 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. Joe, we've been discussing Tennessee, who opens their season on Saturday against Virginia, for a lot of the show so far today. What constitutes success? What constitutes failure? We've had a wide variety of opinions on those things. But one thing's for sure, Tennessee fans very excited about this team as they open up play on Saturday. Maybe in some cases, a little too excited.
Well, Vol Twitter, we love Vol Twitter, and they'll always be Vol Twitter. I don't care what you call that stupid website. It's Vol Twitter.
Okay? It is.
Vol Twitter, they can just have their own little club at games with a little stand and sign up for Vol Twitter. It doesn't even have to be on the internet. Just be on Vol Twitter.
Speaking of, we'll have a member of Vol Twitter on the program tomorrow.
We will. And actually, Big Orange Mac. So I have this little Vol Twitter focus group that I DM all the time. Like, I wrote about them a few years ago. Like, some of the Vol Twitter people who actually give their names and are human beings who function in society.
Yep.
Just to prove that Vol Twitter is not all a bunch of absolute I'm trying to think of the word that I can say on the air.
Lunatics?
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, let's go with that. But I asked the question, and now I ask you this. The same thing.
Okay.
Will Josh Heupel win a national championship at Tennessee?
I think my answer is no. I think they're going to make, especially when this thing goes to 12, they're going to make the playoff. It's hard for me to get to national title right now. It just is. So I will go no, but I'm not convinced of it. I'll lean no.
Yeah. I think that's exactly what my answer would be. And, of course, right now, you know, the folks – well, I wrote this. I mean, I just have to read Big Orange Mac. We'll give a little preview of Big Orange Mac tomorrow. So, first of all, I asked the question, and so I led with his quote, which is – Let me find it. He was given chicken, bleep, and has made chicken salad out of it so far. Given the right resources, NIL can actually coach. We win in a natty soon. Okay? End quote. And then
I like the confidence.
And then he followed it up with, now granted, I'm positive right now. One loss and I'm depressed and we're never winning a natty ever again. There you go. I think you just summed up Vol Twitter right there.
That's pretty much how it goes.
But I'm with, look, Kirby Smart, let's keep that in mind. There were questions about Kirby Smart. Is he ever going to get recruiting great, awesome defense, but that stodgy offense, is he ever going to get over the hump and win it? Like, until you do it, then the questions are going to be there.
Sure.
But the question with Josh Heupel, like, we still haven't seen this offense play, like, get to the highest level of the sport. Doesn't mean it can't. See, you don't like that one.
No, I'm just in my head thinking about the show that we did the day that he was hired and what we were talking about, and now we're asking the question of, you think Josh Heupel can win a national title at some point in Tennessee?
And still, by the way, being doubtful, and so this could also be played when he does
it. Yeah, could be.
I mean, he certainly could, but you have that, and again, you do have the defensive concerns of being with this offense. I know he fights against that narrative all the time. Like at SEC Media Days, he had some stats that he was making sure to get out there because people recruit against each other all day. That's all they do. These coaches just go out there and just basically talk trash about each other to recruits. And so that's the big talking point for people recruiting against Tennessee. That defense, they're on the field all the time. The offense goes three and out. They never have the ball. You're on the field 40 minutes, et cetera, et cetera. He had a stat there, only like 56 in defensive plays per game or whatever it was.
Right.
So, look, could the system he has – I mean, what we haven't seen is this system, and I'm talking offense, with the talent that Tennessee is about to have. Baylor had some really good teams, but they did not have the talent level on both sides of the ball that Tennessee is building toward and I think even has this year. So, it's a – keep an open mind. My point of the column is, like, I think they're going 9-3 this year, and you guys should not be disappointed if they go 9-3 this year. Calm down. Like, don't expect to come out this year. And Georgia, you are toast this year. If you beat Georgia, and who predicted them to beat Alabama last year? I didn't. No. Did anybody? So keep an open mind. It's fun. It's exciting. He's fantastic so far. But also, it's 2 years, and there's reason for optimism with him way more than any of these recent coaches. But that also got out of control with them too, right?
It did. Now, I think it's at a different level than it was then, for sure.
Yes.
But.
What? No doubt.
You're right. I mean, look, you know, this is a different circumstance, but think about it's a good thing they gave Jeremy Pruitt a contract extension because one day Alabama's going to try to poach him.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that conversation? Yeah, okay. That worked out well. So
I mean, 3 years ago, Tennessee fans were worried that Alabama was going to steal their coach.
I know. So, like, it is. Like, the Heupel's different than that. And the thing I'll say is, if they go 9-3 this year, I think that's a good season. I think a lot of people would probably be disappointed by that. I don't think you should be. And I think the roster and recruiting as they move forward, with Nico taking over as quarterback the next year, and some of the guys that they have that are young players right now on this team, and you got a five-star receiver coming in. They just signed a five-star edge rusher the other day. Like, they got a lot of talent coming in. Stability is the main thing, right? Like, we talked about that when Heupel was hired. Like, could you get this thing to a point where it's stable and you're competing and your roster is churning closer to Alabama and Georgia and Florida than it was, you know, Missouri and Kentucky and Vanderbilt at the time? Now, they were never, you know, Tennessee always has a certain level that they can recruit to, but could you get back into the top 10, sneaking up on the top 5 on a consistent basis? And right now, that's what Heupel's doing. So that's how you build long-term success and get into national title conversations, is doing that, stacking classes, as they say.
Right, and I agree for sure. I mean, we've talked about it. Like, I put 4 out of 10 years, which might be a little high, but, I mean, I think they're going to be in the 12-team playoff multiple times in the next few years with Heupel. If he's there and everything keeps going as it is, I think they're going to make the playoff. But that's the thing. You get to a 12-team playoff, and you definitely have some team. I mean, even with the 4-team, you often have a team or two. You're like, well, they're not going to win it. In the 12-team, you're going to have some teams that are in, but do they really have a chance to actually win a national championship? That's the reality of the playoff. And there's still another couple notches to get to. And I don't know if they're going to get there. I don't know if they're not, but that is ultimately the goal, right? Tennessee, everything about Tennessee football is in place for them to be a national championship contender.
Yeah.
With the resources, right coach, yeah, and the right program and all, and the stability and all the things you need. So that is the goal. And I'm just saying, I don't know. I don't know if his brand of football can take it all the way there. But I'm excited to watch.
Yeah, me too. Sign up for Silly Underdog Picks today for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can make your picks today at thegamenashville.com or the 102.5 The Game app as week one of college football kicks off this weekend. Silly Underdog Picks presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket and Superbook Sports. Coming up next, we'll get into the Titans. There was also something that was brought to my attention late last night that I'm excited to get to coming up next as well. We'll do that. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Thursday morning. We'll have Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports coming up at 8 o'clock for his weekly visit talking all things NFL. We'll have him on from 8 to 8.30, so looking forward to that. Lots to get to with Charles. Lots going on this week around the NFL and week one right around the corner. So looking forward to that coming up here in about 30 minutes. Right now, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. So we've discussed your 5 consecutive victories against Jared Stillman in the Jared versus Joe competition. It's becoming just easy peasy for you at this point. Old hat. Like I said, undefeated in my daughter's lifetime in the Jared versus Joe competition. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
But sometimes you get upset that you're the only one that ever yells at Jared. And it was brought to my attention last night that somebody else was yelling at Jared. I found this on the Twitterverse. Larry Frank from Frankly Speaking Sports last night with a 5-minute rant on Jared Stillman on the Twitterverse. We cut it down to about a minute or so, but it was a doozy from Larry Frank last night of Frankly Speaking Sports. Here's what part of what he had to say on Jared Stillman.
Because Jared Stillman and Jared Stillman Eyes is the only one that can be right. Everybody in Jared Stillman's opinion sucks. He never has a good thing to say about anyone. He's so hypocritical. I'm going to tell you right now, guys, he is so full of crap that there is more crap coming out of his mouth than comes out of people's. And I am not kidding about that. It was only a couple of years ago I came to Tennessee. First thing I heard, I think it was after the unfortunate Bengals game. All I heard throughout the next year is how Ryan Tannehill sucks. Ryan Tannehill sucks. Ryan Tannehill sucks. Now he's on the bandwagon. He changes his mind. All of a sudden, Ryan Tannehill is good. I love Ryan Tannehill. He's going to be the greatest cornerback. You know, then it was last year. Traylon Burks is a bust, he says. Traylon Burks is a bust. I can't believe it. All they ever do is screw up their picks. Rah, 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 rah. Now he loves Traylon Burks. Traylon Burks is going to be a star. And how about Mike Vrabel? He never has a good thing to say about Mike Vrabel.
So that was part of a rant, a five-minute rant last night of Larry Frank from Frankly Speaking Sports on Twitter, at LarryFrankUS on the Twitterverse. 5 minutes of just screaming at Jared Stillman last night. I thought that would do your heart some good today, Joe, to hear from somebody else that was a little upset with Jared yesterday.
Now I'm going – so it's Hopkinsville, Kentucky. So now I'm going to his account, and it, the first tweet is all caps, Larry Blast Jared Stillman!
It was incredible. I watched the entire 5 minutes of this thing last night.
Yeah.
It was basically just 5 minutes of this guy going nuts on Stillman. And it was beautiful. I mean, I enjoyed every last second.
Yeah, Robbie interrupted me having my enchiladas, and it was well worth it.
I did. Jared, I texted Nick at like 8 o'clock last night.
Jared gets people so mad, doesn't he?
He does.
You got, so now you got Larry Frank. I mean, sometimes I get mad at him, too.
Yeah.
Who else gets mad at him? Like, a lot of the preds.
A lot of the bloggers, preds, media get mad at him, for sure.
Universe.
Yeah.
I mean, really gets mad
the
at
the text
Jared.
Line.
Text line.
A lot of them.
But you know what? Jared also has a lot of loyal fans.
He does.
So, I don't know what to say other than I like Jared. And I actually agree with more of Jared's takes than I disagree with.
Do you?
I do. Absolutely. If I were to listen to all 4 hours of his show, I'm not saying I do because I usually don't, but I listen. I mean, I listen to a fair
good amount. Of,
yeah.
Yeah.
But if I were to go through a week and listen to all 20 hours of his show, I would want to claw my eyeballs out afterward. However, if you went through take by take by take, yes, I absolutely would agree with more than disagree. The problem is that the disagree takes sometimes are like, what are you talking about, right? It's just the dramatic ridiculousness of some of the takes. But most of the takes are fine. I'm saying takes a lot.
I'm just glad we found somebody that when they disagree with Jared are as passionate as you are about it. Larry Frank brought the noise last night, and I was glad to see it.
Larry Frank should – I mean, this is some major love for Larry Frank.
It's a lot of love for Larry
Frank. I
may
have to check out this Larry Frank show here.
Yeah, just good stuff. We're going to get to Charles Robinson coming up at 8 o'clock. Obviously, a lot to get to with the Titans and the transactions that have taken place in the NFL. So – We talked about the Cade York signing, what that could mean for the Titans in terms of how they're going to use him. Is he purely a developmental guy this year on the practice squad? Will there be a role for Cade York at some point on the active roster this season, be that with kickoffs or with field goals? How will the Titans handle that part of it? Obviously, still over a week away from week one between the Titans taking on the Saints, so the roster could still change as it stands right now. But Kyle Phillips out for 4 weeks to begin the season. Jordan Schultz of The Score reported that yesterday, so you're going to be without him. So lots to get to on the Titans front in terms of what is this going to look like as they move forward here. Are there more moves that the Titans are going to make heading into the season? And we talked about this a little bit with Kuharsky yesterday. I am excited from Burks being back from the standpoint of, number one, him being back, what he can do on the field individually, but number two, what that means for the offense that we're going to see. I thought a really interesting point by you two yesterday of what this offense is going to look like and how different it could be. And we didn't see a ton of it in the preseason. Obviously, you keep things pretty vanilla in the preseason, but that may be more so than individual storylines of, you know, who's is Andre Diller going to play well on the offensive line, Burks, all those things. Like the collective storyline of how much different does the offense look, I think going to be the number one thing I'm looking forward to in New Orleans coming up in week one.
And if the if it's run, run, pass, punt on the first series, oh, oh my gosh. Then Titan Twitter will give Twitter a run. But yeah, I think that's a really interesting aspect. The individual player, you got to think, like the defense is pretty much a known commodity. Although I'm like really excited to watch like Arden Key in a real game, for example, just to see what that looks like. The new guys, you know, basically, but offensively, it's obviously Burks and it's Hopkins and the whole thing and Spears too. I mean, that's the thing. I saw something like SI, you know, and this is like the constant Titans disrespect or respect. Like I said, there's some respect for the Titans out there.
Oh, we're getting into an SI piece here in about five
minutes. Well, I don't want to. Okay. Are we talking about the same thing?
I would think so.
That's okay. Well, then never mind. That's hilarious. Okay. Yep. There it is. SI. Yep. Wow. I did not realize that that you were about to talk about that. I'll pre-counter it. Like I said, Austin Mock goes 8.6, his model, and he runs like hundreds of 8.6 wins for the Titans, which, again, you go back to like Dane Brugler's earliest mock draft had them at about, I don't know, 3?
Yeah. Yeah. They're going to be bad.
So that's good. That's encouraging to see, you know, like some people look at the Titans and say, yeah, they could be. I think there's some of that out there. But then there's also some of the other thing, which is, I think, just not paying attention.
Well, I've got some evidence that people aren't paying attention coming up here in just a few minutes. We'll get into that. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning, buddy. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, man. So I've been listening to all you guys since you've been at 102.5 The Game, for sure. And Jared's one of them I listen to him, too. And he's all right. So I've had my moments with him for sure through the year, especially early on. I couldn't stand him early on. I thought this dude is an idiot. He's like clickbait, but on the radio, he just says stuff because he wants people to get all excited and upset and cuss him out so that way they can be talking about him. But the more I've listened to him, the more I learned, because he does this thing where he's like, young Jared Stillman, this and that, or I can't afford to be a fan because I do this for a living. He is a huge Titans fan, and he's passionate about the Titans, and so he gets worked up talking about them. But I just learned to accept that he's not dumb. He's actually pretty smart. He just doesn't remember stuff. Like, he has opinions about things and will change it like 3 days later,
or sometimes in the middle of a sentence.
It won't even be like remotely the same opinion about the same guy. And so I've had to like the Tannehill thing. That was one of my big ones coming in. I remember specifically calling his show and going, why can't we at least see if Tannehill's still a good quarterback? He's like, because Miami paid to get rid of him. He's trash. And so I'm like, you know, I watched that play out, and I bring that up to him through the years, and he's like, I didn't say it like that. I'm like, you 100% said it like that, dude.
Right.
Like, you gotta. So I, my thing is like, God, I wish we kept better records at 102.5 The Game, where you could pull that up quickly and go, look, dude, this was your opinion, or at least have like a bullet point, like these are your opinions. Remember them, so that way you can say it again, and people won't think you're crazy. But I don't think he's like. I don't think he's bad. I'm gonna say that. I don't think he's bad. I just think he's a little sloppy sometimes when it comes to his opinions.
Thank you, Adam. We appreciate it.
So is Jared like Drew Barrymore in 50 First Dates? Jared, no! Oh my God!
Every day's new.
Here, Jared. Here's a picture of Derrick Henry. Here's some clips of Derrick Henry running the football. Ryan Tannehill completed that pass. Good morning, Jared. Welcome to your new day.
Here's Nick Foles kicking a 44-yard field goal.
You are a radio host in Nashville. You live in Nashville, Tennessee. You love the Titans.
Just beautiful. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Coming up next, it is time for the Rob Rant. We'll get into a little bit more Titans disrespect, as I call it. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
You know, you get to Duval and everybody lives within a 3-mile radius. Duval!
That's right. It is that time of the day, time for the Rob Rant on Robbie and Rex Road. You can check it out every morning at 7:45. The Rex Rant, the Rob Rant. Somebody's going to be mad around 7:45 on the program every day. Take your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So we're talking about the Titans. And look, I knew some of this was coming heading into the season. And I've talked about this before. Like the overwhelming favorite in the AFC South in terms of like people making picks, it's going to be Jacksonville. They won the division last year. They have Trevor Lawrence. Calvin Ridley's on the team this year. They're going to be the favorite heading into the season, which that's fine. Whatever. Like that part of it doesn't really bother me. But I'm just scrolling around yesterday and I see this tweet come across my timeline from Sports Illustrated, SI Now on Twitter or X or whatever we're calling it. And the headline on Twitter was, "The Jaguars are the clear favorites in the AFC South. So the only question is, who comes in second?" Matt Verderame breaks it down. So I'm reading this article that they put out there.
Indy Ben agrees.
Yeah, like the only question is who comes in second. Okay. Like as if the Titans, the Colts, and the Texans are all grouped into one category. So here's just part of what the article says. "Looking at the division, the Jaguars are the heavy favorites. They're the only team with a star quarterback and a coach who's won a Super Bowl. While the Texans and Colts are both working with first-year duos at those spots, Jacksonville also has a litany of playmakers, including Calvin Ridley, Christian Kirk, Evan Ingram, Travis Etienne, yada, yada, yada. The offense should be good enough on its own to get Jacksonville back into the postseason. The big question in the AFC South is which team emerges as second best. The Titans have long been competitive under Coach Mike Vrabel, making the playoffs for three consecutive years before cratering in the second half of 2022, losing seven straight to miss out. Tennessee has defensive talent in the front seven, but the secondary is a question, and the offense is essentially Derrick Henry or bust. In today's pass-happy NFL, that's a tough way to consistently win, especially without any notable proven receivers." That was the line used. Without any notable proven receivers. And I read that, and I thought to myself, like, did we just not pay attention that DeAndre Hopkins is on the team? Did we forget that DeAndre Hopkins is on the team? Like, I mean, I think he is both notable and proven. That's just me, based on the career that is probably Hall of Fame career that he's had through this point. But I saw that yesterday, and it just felt like a symptom of what I think we've known all along, and that is, for some reason, like, it's just really hard for people around the country to watch and or pay attention to the Titans. And I read that line yesterday, without any notable or proven receivers. And I was like, good Lord, they've got DeAndre Hopkins. Now, look, DeAndre Hopkins, there are fair questions about him heading into the year. He's coming off some injuries, PED suspension. He's older. He's on a new team, all those things. The one thing I probably wouldn't say about him is that he's not notable or proven. So I found that to be an interesting take from Sports Illustrated yesterday. We're basically grouping the Titans in with the Texans and the Colts. And apparently, they just either forgotten that DeAndre Hopkins exists, forgotten that he signed with the Titans, or maybe they just think he's not notable or proven. I don't know. It was interesting to see this yesterday at Sports Illustrated.
Because the thing is, like, the only way, and I still wouldn't put them with the Colts with Colts and Texans. I still wouldn't group them with them. They should still be, at the very least, the Titans should be considered clear second in their own.
Yeah.
If you want to say tier one, then tier two, then tier three, that's fine. I would put it tier one, Jags and Titans, tier two, Colts, right? I mean, I would split it in half. But it's certainly not tier one Jags and then tier two, those three together. That's bad analysis. But maybe, I mean, it actually could be that he doesn't know that they signed DeAndre Hopkins.
Like, I was wondering that. I was like, does this guy not realize that DeAndre Hopkins is on the team? Like, I don't know how else you end up without any notable proven receivers. Like, there are a lot of fair criticisms. Hey, look, yeah, I think Treylon Burks is going to be good. I have no idea. Like, Treylon Burks, can he stay healthy? I have no idea how good or not good the Titans receiving group is going to be this year. But just those two words, no notable or proven receivers. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Cool. I'm fine saying that without signing Hopkins, even though I think, and a lot of people think that Burks will be good. He'll be notable this year, and I think after this year he'll be proven. But at this point, he's not. That's fine. Right. If you want to say, I just don't know, totally fair. I don't know if Hobson's going to be healthy. Don't know if he's about to fall off the cliff. All that stuff, that's totally fine. Julio Jones came here 2 years ago, and we saw what happened, right? Is Julio Jones still in the league?
He's
still out there, right?
He's still available.
Yeah. But notable and proven?
I mean.
Yeah, he's the definite.
Well, look, it goes on. Like,
name me the Hall of Fame career that's not notable.
They eventually, they go through a breakdown of all the teams, and it's to their credit, it's a short one, so there's not a lot of room in here. But, I mean, they talk about Derrick Henry, Andre Dillard, Peter Skoronski, Ryan Tannehill, Jeffrey Simmons, Nico Autry. There's not one mention of DeAndre Hopkins this entire article, which makes me think that this person, whose name that I've just forgotten that I talked about in a minute.
I think
there's a chance that he has no idea that DeAndre Hopkins is actually on the team, which is amazing to me.
Okay, now I'm interested to see his Twitter or whatever.
Titans fans found this yesterday, okay. And the reaction is what you would expect. Really? No notable or proven receivers, huh? How about that?
Yeah, because that's the obvious response to him and his mentions is, dude, have you heard of DeAndre Hopkins? And it's just guys, I mean, you gotta. And I don't know if that's the case. Maybe it's just a very poor job of conveying his thoughts.
Maybe.
But one way or the other, if it's the other thing and you actually didn't know they signed DeAndre Hopkins, dude, you can't do that.
Well,
here's the other
part about all this. I don't know when Jacksonville has become this impenetrable wall of talent that just nobody else in the division has any chance of taking down. Full disclosure. We're going to come out with our preseason picks next week, and we'll get into division winners and Super Bowl picks and all that stuff. As I sit here today, and I've not gone through the whole exercise yet, so I'm gonna get into it and really take a hard look at it. My guess is I'm probably going to end up picking Jacksonville to win the division. That's just my guess. But we'll see what happens there. But, it's close. This idea that it's Jacksonville that's just light years better than the Titans and everybody else, I just think is absurd. I don't know how we're getting there in this discussion.
Yeah. But that's been all over the place.
Yeah, that's not a Sports Illustrated thing. That's a nationwide thing.
And I think it's to a pretty big extent the expectation that Trevor Lawrence is about to step into a higher level. And
sure.
He might. If he does, then I think they're the favorite in a team you start talking about in the AFC. That's fine. Yeah, but the idea that the Titans would be clumped with the other two right now because of no notable or proven receivers.
A
worthwhile rant.
To their credit, I mean, the headline they put on Twitter got me to read it about, the Jags are clearly the best team. The question is, who's second best? I was like, really? That's the question? Okay, let me look at this. And when I got to the part of them talking about the Titans have no notable or proven receivers, I was like, oh, okay. So what is this? What are we doing here?
Deep sigh.
I mean, I guess there's a chance this person does know that DeAndre Hopkins is on the team. And I guess just thinks he's not notable or proven.
Yeah,
but I don't know how we come to that conclusion.
Yeah, that just can't be. Those can't be the words that you choose. Those are not the words that you choose.
Look, I'm sure this won't be the last one that we read where we start scratching our heads heading into the season. But I found that one to be interesting yesterday from Sports Illustrated.
Glenn from Greenbrier says, Joe, what's the process of publishing an article? Does it not get peer reviewed and then approved? Yeah, I mean, the editor. But look, I mean, no, I'm sure that article was edited. It didn't have, bad typos or
no.
Glaring.
Spelled things
correctly.
Didn't
even have, fat. I mean, it's his opinion. It's just, I mean, that would have been one that someone might have been like, hey, man, Hopkins is proven and notable, right?
Yeah, I think.
So
maybe not.
Fair question. But, again, it's not like. Like, this is not something where, libel is going to be,
No.
It's just a really bad take.
Coming up next, we'll be joined by Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. We'll get into all things NFL with him. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.